Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
It's the Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo, except there was a surprise guest voice in the show today.
Well, there was no Marto.
What happened? Well. What was actually wrong with him? Do we
know? He has cellulitis.
Is that it? Or Monday-itis?
Monday-itis. No, Marto's never backwards and coming forwards about why he's not here. If he's taken the day off because he's stuck at Morton, stuck.
Yeah, he missed the last
barge because I drank too much rum last night. But no, I believe he's actually very sick. He spent all weekend in bed and he has a bacterial infection of the skin, which is what cellulitis is. So we hope you're okay, Marto.
Could it have been potentially the social media post that caused the cellulitis on Friday of him with a box of beer.
I didn't see it. What was it?
A box of beer on his shoulder. Great to be out in Brisbane. That was just...
Did Marto post to his social media?
I don't know who did it.
Special occasion.
I don't know what I'm more shocked by, the fact that he didn't turn up today after drinking beer on Friday night, or that he actually posted to his social media.
Look, either way, I've learned a lot from today. I've got to say this. The Squid Game, I thought it was a seafood documentary on the plight of the prawning industry.
Turns out it's not.
No, it's a very bloody and ugly and...
hyper-violent thriller, Dobbo.
Also learned a little bit about your neighbours.
Yeah, I haven't got great neighbours. I'm just going to say it out there. I hope they don't listen to the show, but you know who you are. And one day I hope that they drop off.
Well, if you keep
listening...
Well,
they will because... No, I'm kidding. This catch-up podcast. I won't.
We're handing out Dobbo's address later on in this podcast, so keep listening. It's the Big Breakfast at Triple M.
The Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for the great Queensland getaway where you can fly for $75, stay for less, and do more. Be quick. These incredible deals end October 31 or until sold out. Visit queensland.com for all the details.
133353, I'd love to hear from you if you have a neighbourhood dispute. I'm actually living in a favourite and beautiful part of my, in the suburb that I
Ipswich.
Love. I live in Ipswich. We have a house that we love, Amity and I, except I've got a dispute with my neighbours.
You haven't been there very long, Dobbo. How long have you been living there?
February. Now, I would like to blame Amity for it, one side of it.
Aren't you getting married in 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, that's all right.
Be careful.
That's all right. Her car has some issues with a battery, and when it starts up in the morning, it revs to try and charge the battery. We live in a very sleepy, quiet street. It needs to be fixed. The simple solution is putting a new battery in the car. No, she hasn't done that. So about 3 weeks ago, she decided to start the car up at 4:30, going off to an early training session, and it made excessive noise that woke up the neighbours. For whatever reason, they took offence to that and have since bought a karaoke machine or some music. I think there's a piano, there's a microphone, and they start singing at 11 o'clock at night. And I'm serious, not just one night.
Is
they
this
have
payback?
Done it. They've done it. They have done it for weeks on end now, to the point that we can't sleep. I don't know whether to write a letter to the council. I don't know whether to confront them.
Yeah, go and talk
Maybe
to
just
them.
Write them a letter.
I don't know if that's an answer because it could escalate, and I don't want to be that person. Across the road, we've got some people who are recently out of jail and living there at the moment, and their family and friends who want retribution and stuff have come there.
This place you live in sounds delightful, Dom.
Well, the issue about it is that I would have thought that potentially, like, we should have probably checked with the real estate agent who lives in the block of flats across the road. We didn't do that. That's on us. But that's been a massive issue. So I don't know how you get around these disputes. I'm sure people have disputes with neighbours.
Yeah, just leave a passive-aggressive anonymous letter in your mailbox like my neighbours did.
Is that right?
Or just anonymously complain online to police and make them turn up all the time.
Yeah, but they only know who it is. The police get sick and tired and they say, oh, listen, the neighbours across the road are there. Mm. And the next thing you know, they're stealing my tinny or taking fuel out of my garage. You know, like, I just don't need any... I just want a peaceful, quiet life. 133353, have you had a neighbour dispute with your neighbour? Are you able to rectify it?
Well, maybe someone has some advice for you, Dobbo, on how to address the situation because you want to be able to resolve the issue, but you don't want to confront them. And leaving a letter in the mailbox might just annoy them even more and frustrate them like it did for us.
Well, a simple solution for us is we just need to put a new battery in Amity's car. That would fix a lot of issues.
Why haven't you done that?
That's just laziness.
All right. 133353. Look, I know it's a bit cliche, but you're talking about neighbours from hell.
Nightmare neighbours from hell.
Yeah, we've got them, mate. We've got them right next door.
Have you ever thought maybe you're the nightmare neighbour?
Why would that be?
Because you're the one revving the car
on
at 4:30 in the morning.
She's got a dreadful voice.
133353. Have you got a nightmare neighbour, or do you live next door to Dobbo? Give us a call.
We will have to do something shortly.
You would know people, though, wouldn't you?
Well, I didn't want to say that, but you know.
Helen from Clontarf. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Can you relate to Dobbo's situation? Do you have some neighbours from hell? I guess.
I sure do. I think they have to be the local ice dealers.
Oh, okay. All sorts of shenanigans happening, Helen. How are they disruptive to the neighbourhood?
They do generally deal around 3 o'clock in the morning. So unfortunately, for the rest of us who do work during the day, it's very disruptive. So,
you know what they say, ice never sleeps, Helen.
Is that what they say? I've never heard that saying before. But anyway, thank you for sharing that, Margo. Helen, I feel for you. I really do, because you're just trying to get along and people coming and going.
Have you reported it to council or to the local police, Helen?
We've only been reported about 15 times to the police. Yeah. So, for some reason, the neighbours seem to be able to know what's going on, but the police don't.
Oh, okay.
We when we bought our house, it's interesting you say that, a lady who previously bought it before two owners, she goes, "Oh, I remember when I owned this house, we had the SWAT team in our front in our front thing looking at this unit block." And I'm like, "Okay, so it's not just a recent issue. This has been ongoing for some time." Hey, Doug from North Lakes, how was your solution with nightmare neighbours? What did you do, mate?
How are you, Dobbo? Mate, we had a rental next to us, a steady succession of absolute morons living next to us. So we bought the house.
Yeah. Oh, bought the house. That's an expensive exercise, Doug, just to get rid of some neighbours.
It's an investment.
It was worth it, absolutely worth it.
And then you can control who goes in there as a tenant, I guess. That's smart.
Absolutely, yep. So it worked out perfect for us.
Are you suggesting that Dobbo buys the house just behind him and the unit complex across the road from him?
Well, he's probably on the big bucks, why not?
Mate, I don't know who you've been talking to, but that's not right
it's
at all.
It's not a buyer's market, Doug. That's the problem.
Yeah. Hey, Doug.
Absolutely.
Got $100 for you to spend at YouFoods. Get fueled with YouFoods. 30 new high-protein meals to fuel your day. Conveniently delivered fresh to your door. YouFoods.com. Congratulations. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. I just want a quick shout-out from Paul from Helensvale. 75-year-old neighbour has taken up the saxophone and thinks it's appropriate to practice at 5 a.m. I hate her. Well, Paul, I understand. Not great.
The Big Breakfast at Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Dobbo's with us. A eligible bachelor once upon a time, Dobbo.
Yeah, look, and there's no secrets. I'm getting married in a little under 3 weeks' time.
It's exciting. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm sorry I won't be able to be there, but good luck. All the best.
It's a whole different story. We're not going to open up.
I want to know now. This is interesting. Yeah,
she was invited and declined. That was as simple as that.
I'd already committed to another thing.
To a 40th birthday party. But that's a whole other day and a whole other story. So one thing I have learned about this process, and I've been married before, and it's been 22 years since I was last married, and I would be fair to say the last time I didn't have an enormous amount of involvement in the process. We were young, I was getting married in the country, but I'm getting married in Brisbane in the surrounding areas, and I just want to say I love flowers and I love what they mean. But florists should be ashamed of themselves as a general rule for what they do around weddings. It is highway robbery. And I'm generalising here. I understand that. And I could be offending a lot of people this morning.
You will, don't worry.
But you put a seed in the ground and you add water to it and you grow a flower. And I love flowers. I buy them every week for Amity. But in saying that, what they charge and what they bill for weddings.
Well, it's the florists, not the florist growers.
Well, like they're one and the same.
Florists are like
they're
farmers, Marto. They struggle through the weather and the drought and the rain, and it's seasonal. And
they're one and the same.
It's a lot. And then florists have to buy the perfect flowers to get the perfect bouquet so that your bride is happy.
I don't want to in any way degrade what a florist does, but getting a bunch of flowers and putting them together and putting a ribbon around it is not a difficult thing to do. And I don't want to in any way be rude, like you buy the flowers. And I want to, in why I'm on this little rant.
A lot of people go down to the markets, Dobbo, and you could go down and say to Amity, hey, I'm going to take over the flower responsibility and go down to the markets, buy a couple of bunches, wrap some ribbon around it and deliver that and see how she likes it.
I don't know if that would be...
I don't think that would work. No, exactly.
Can I also, why I'm on this, cake makers. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of advice to everybody here. If you use the word wedding to a cake maker, there is a 30% markup. Now, that's a generalise as well, but my studies have found out if you're going to get married, just say it's a birthday cake. Just say, here's the cake, it's for a birthday.
Oh, it's a little different.
And do not use the W word. Don't ever bring the W word into any conversation. Like, and you know what? You won't pay. You won't pay because there is an unwritten rule, and it would be illegal to say this, but if there's a wedding, there's a markup. And if you say I'm getting married, florists and cake makers, they lick their lips. You know, event rent, they say, yeah. If you say it's a birthday.
They see you coming.
Yeah, they do. I'm telling you now, and I've learnt this, what was going to be a wedding at a certain price has almost doubled in price through no fault.
Any evidence of this at all, Dobbo?
None whatsoever, except my own studies of me making phone calls around.
What phone calls did you make?
I rang florists and cake makers.
And said what?
Well, I asked the cake maker for a price on a wedding cake, and then I rang back. I got my mother to ring and say, for a birthday cake for Ella.
It was different.
Different price.
Well, you do have evidence then.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the expectation of a three-year-old's birthday cake is a little lower than the expectation of your wedding.
I want a unicorn cake for our wedding.
Corey's going around the house, stuck his marbles, busy parking orders, time for At Home with Parkers.
Well, Dobbo, yesterday I watched my son and three of his mates drive around the backyard in a little beat old up Hyundai Elantra, 1995. I think we bought it off a mate for like $500 five or six years ago. And it's been through the ringer. This thing is spray painted. It's got dents in it. The kids have used the bonnet to tow each other around on the back of the quad bikes. But Wiley, our 10-year-old son, just loves driving it around the backyard. He just does circles around the goalposts and, you know, puts it into park and then reverse and practices his reverse parking. And he's pretty bloody good at it for a 10-year-old.
Sure.
He's been doing it for about 12 months probably, just driving around the backyard.
What a great way for a young
kid. Always wears a seatbelt, no texting whilst driving. He throws the aircon on, slips an MP3 disc into the CD player and off he goes. And it was really fun. And he had a couple of mates over yesterday. I text their parents and I just said, is it okay if they jump in the car? Seatbelts will be worn at all times and they don't go over first gear. And they're like, yeah, no dramas. We used to do that as kids. Grow up driving around the backyard or a bit of paddock bashing. I know Corey grew up on 10 acres in Jimboomba and him and his mates had a few old cars they used to just bang around, throw around the trees and whatnot. But I was like, this kid is 10 and he reverse parked that car into the shed. And he did it with such precision and on a really good line. I was like, trying to think, I'm like, I didn't drive a car till I was probably maybe 14. We had some property in the family when I was younger and we used to drive around the paddocks and feed the horses. And so I learnt to drive a stick shift in the car in the paddocks of Mulaney.
Nice.
Yeah, old school.
Yeah.
But 133353, I want to know, how old were you when you learnt to drive a car? I know, Dobbo, you grew up in Mossman, but spent a lot of time in property in outback Queensland.
I didn't grow up in Mossman, but anyway, that story's good for your narrative.
Some of those, big houses in it, like a room out there.
There's a lot of room around Mossman.
But you're from Sydney. When did you start driving a
car? Like at the same age.
Yeah.
I learned that. My 16-year-old, I taught, he could drive a manual car on the farm at Condamine as a 6-year-old. He could set drive a manual ute. Now, I will say that has some positives and some negatives because now he is an L plater and he still thinks he's driving a Condamine a manual ute. Yeah, so we've had to curb it back a fraction. But
yeah.
133353. I think it's a good thing if you have somebody who has a little bit of land and you can teach your kids before they just to feel a car. Because I know I've got friends who have got 16-year-old daughters who are getting their L's now and stuff like that, and it's foreign to them, just even the whole sitting in a car. Whereas they can
have
a little experience.
Some people don't get the opportunity. Yeah. Like our nephew, he came out for a barbecue some time back and he was, you know, doing his learners online, like doing the modules or whatever online, but he'd never actually sat in a car. And he's 15 and Corey's like, hang on a second, come on, I'll go down. And he sat in the car with him and took him through what to do and how to do it all. But he'd never been given the opportunity before. But I guess we take it for granted and my kids just kind of do it. And I was out there watching them and I'm like, actually, he's not a bad little driver.
Well, let's find out.
For a 10-year-old, 133353. How old were you when you learnt to drive?
Got some stuff to give away to our callers this morning as well. 133353.
Karina from Eden's Landing, you've called through because you learnt to drive at a young age?
No, not me, my son.
Okay, how old was he? Tell us why.
Seven.
Perfect.
Wow. We Yeah, we had a lot of property, and I had a little Toyota Sportivo, and he was sitting there on your lap with a little motorbike helmet on, and yeah, learned to drive himself really fast.
How old
and
is
now
he now?
He drives my truck.
Yeah. Oh, he drives a truck now.
Yeah, he can. Yep. Yep.
How old is he now, Karina?
Just turned 11.
11. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah, and he can reverse a trailer.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Takes it off the dock and everything.
See, that's life skills there, right there. Yeah. That's
you've always got a job if you can drive a truck. No matter what, how bad things go, if you can steer a truck and back a trailer in, you've
keeping Australia moving.
Will from the Gold Coast. What age were you when you learned how to drive?
I was about 6 and my younger brother was about 4, but of course one of us couldn't see over the steering wheel. We used to, one used to sit on the floor and push the pedals and the other one used to use the steering wheel and used to...
I get it.
Change the gears.
I put phone books on the seat for William when he was that, like, remember the yellow pages?
Seat.
When the yellow pages were a thing, I put phone books and he had a stick with him that he could use as to get his feet down. Will.
Will, yeah. How come you were that young and given the opportunity to learn how to drive? Did you live on some acreage?
Yeah, we had about 500 acres to play in, so...
Incredible.
What the parents didn't see, they didn't know.
Exactly. So. Do you have kids, Will?
Yeah, I've got 2 sons.
Have you encouraged them to learn to drive early?
Yeah, my eldest probably started driving about 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And has it set him up for some good driving on the actual roads?
Yeah, except that he got a lead foot.
Yeah. So. Mm. Yeah, it's the drama. They get very confident.
Speed cameras will sort that out. Leanne from Redcliffe, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Leanne, how old were you or your son or daughter when they learned to drive?
I was 11, but my nephew, he was about 7 or 8. There was a salesman out there for some fertiliser on the farm, and he said to my sister-in-law, do you realise that ute is driving itself down the road? Because he couldn't see anyone in the Toyota Hilux, and my nephew couldn't see over the dash.
See over
see
the
between
dash.
The steering wheel and the dash.
That's good story.
So, incredible.
So my sister-in-law said, oh, no, that's just my son. He's just driving. And, yeah, it was quite funny. And my niece, when she learnt to drive, she was a little bit old, about 9, I think, but she had a ute with a bull bar on the front. And everyone accused my nephew of having done something to the bull bar because there was a big, it was very lopsided. But apparently she had a little bump into a mango tree.
All right.
But it twisted the bull bar. It was a good one.
Oh, dear, Leanne. Thanks so much for your call.
Hey, Leanne, it's just up the road from you. The Red Hot Summer Tour is back at the Sandstone Point Hotel April 30 next year. Hunters and Collectors, James Rain, Living End. More tickets on sale now, ticketmaster.com.au. But we want to set you up for some tickets to see that. Congratulations and thanks for the call.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, guys.
This is Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Dobbo, I have to say, while you are here, you've started something that has ignited a fire within last weekend. We celebrated your upcoming wedding by going to a Vietnamese-Chinese restaurant here in Woolloongabba, Ben's, which also doubles as a karaoke joint. And after
tradition.
A certain time, everybody can start picking songs and they get up and sing while you enjoy Vietnamese and your Lazy Susan.
Now, one thing that was sure, you were very upset because you pick some songs and you weren't able to sing at
Yes,
Ben's.
Well,
there were a lot of requests
and not everybody got up.
A lot of strong personalities in the room that night and you missed out.
I missed out. And if you listen to the show, you'll know that I do love to belt out a little bit of a tune every now and then. I love to sing.
You like the sound of your own voice.
Can't sing to save myself, but I do like to sing and I always wished if there was one thing that I was really great at, it would be to sing.
Is that right?
So I put my skills to practice, Dobbo, because I missed an opportunity with you last weekend. So this weekend just gone, my girlfriends and I decided we were going to go out for dinner and catch up because it had been a while. People get busy and mums and kids and, you know, the ferrying around of children kind of takes over your life. A few of us thought, oh, well, let's get together, we'll do dinner. I said, we always just do dinner. Like, let's do something different, you know? So I found this really cool karaoke joint at Garden City. It's called Cloud 8 Karaoke. But this is different to the restaurant setting where you stand up in front of everybody and sing. They're private rooms. There's about about 12 of them, and you just hire one, and you, it's BYO, so we organised our own food and our own drinks, and we had it booked for 3 hours. And we went in there, and because it was just the seven of us, we had the most fun and
how
the
good.
Funniest night I've had in a long time. I'm talking like belly soul laughing, you know, good for your soul belly laughter. It was so much fun. But anyway, the 10 o'clock rolled around and our night had come to an end. But we weren't done yet. We wanted to go and do something.
Bit of diesel on board at this stage.
Few champagnes in the back pocket. And we found ourselves, because we were at Garden City Shopping Centre, we found ourselves at Time Zone. Dobbo,
of course you do.
I have never entered a time zone without at least one or two of my four children tagging along, because that's the only reason you go to time zone.
Yeah. Well, generally, it's
except
the kids.
It's not, because there was heaps of young kids and teens and early 20s there doing the shuffle dancing.
Okay. You're not a young kid, teen or 20. Okay.
And we roll in, a bunch of 40-year-olds, some of us almost nearly 50, in our high heels and our going out best clothes on, and we sign ourselves up for the Dodgem cars.
Of course you did.
Yep, $6 it cost us.
Isn't there
each.
A law about you've got to be sober to go in them?
We jumped on those Dodgem cars, Dubbo, and I tell you, if we thought we'd had fun at karaoke, Dodgem cars, when you're actually on them, not just sitting watching your kids do it, is a whole new game. And I'll tell you what, if your pelvic floor is shot like mine is, I highly do not recommend it, because I think I wet myself
about three times
hit in the back, hit in the front, run into the wall, laughing, bent over the steering wheel.
Wet your pants.
My pants.
Please, time zone, wherever you are, sterilise the Dodgem cars.
Forget COVID.
Lucky COVID's in
Thanks
town.
Thanks for sharing, Margot.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
And today, the part of Marto will be played by Dobbo. Welcome along.
Yeah, thank you. Look, two great horse races on Saturday afternoon. And normally we don't talk about racing that often, but we had the Everest in Sydney. Now, this was the brainchild of Peter Volandis, who wanted to take on the VRC and the Caulfield Cup and Melbourne Cup by making one of the great races. Now, Nature Strip won that race. It's now won $14 million in prize money. Great story, Margo, off the back of that. Went to the sales, was passed in at $90,000. No one wanted him. So a syndicate got put together for $100,000. They've bought a $100,000 horse. It won Horse of the Year 2019-20 season. It's won $14 million in prize money.
Incredible.
What a great story. But the real story was the Caulfield Cup. On Saturday afternoon, if you were watching the TV, you would have heard one of the great finishes. Here it is, Incentivise. Now, at the start of the year, this horse had had three starts. It goes to the Sunshine Coast on a Sunday. It wins. It then heads to Toowoomba. It wins. It goes to Ipswich. It wins. It goes to Eagle Farm twice. It wins. It heads to Flemington. It's won. It has not been beaten in seven starts. It was bred in Toowoomba by the Windermere stud. A great story. It was a four-year-old, a maiden four-year-old, which is very rare, and now it's the favourite for the Melbourne Cup. $4 million in prize money. The owner sold 40% of it for $1 million. He still has the controlling share. Peter Moody's training it. Everybody, if you want a hero at the moment, and we understand from COVID, this horse Incentivise. I know Scott Morrison uses Incentivise all the time, that word, but this horse is an out-and-out champion and the favourite for the Melbourne Cup. Great story, Toowoomba bred horse. We all should be really proud.
And did you get behind it?
Yes, I did.
Well done.
I love the morning.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M.
Dobbo's in the chair for Marto today.
Yeah, Dobbo, there's a few things you need to learn, and one of them is what Squid Game is. Now,
well, this is off of me not quite sure. You said Squid Games. I was speaking to somebody yesterday about this amazing documentary about the seafood industry, and because I love seafood.
You said, is it a seafood documentary?
Well,
and
squid,
I said, no, it's definitely
squid
not.
Squid is one of my favourite. That turns into calamari.
Yeah, it's not that.
Okay. What this is a hyper-violent thriller, Marto. That's a Korean-made Netflix show. This soundtrack, you might...
It will
recognize
drive you mad. Yeah.
If you have watched the series. Season one just came out about 2 weeks ago, and people are going nuts for it. Basically, what it is, it's about marginalized members of society. It's all about wealth disparity and unfairness in society. It brings underprivileged, 456 underprivileged players into a game, but only one person makes it out. Now, it's a series of six games that are relatively easy and childlike because it's tug of war, stuff that you would have played in the playground, red light, green light, which is, I guess, the Korean version of what's the time, Mr. Wolf, where they say red light, you walk up.
Is it
and
true?
Then when they say red light, everybody stops, and whoever doesn't stop, the doll, the big doll, turns around and shoots you because this is all about death. And if you lose, you die.
Okay, so it's not a documentary
no.
on
the seafood. It's not a documentary on seafood. No, it is very interesting. They've just come out now. The government in parts of Australia and the UK, all over the world, in fact, are saying don't let your children watch this because they're now starting to play out these games in the playgrounds, in and around schools. So make sure you watch it first.
You've learned something, though. You've learned something today, yes. Dobbo.
Yeah. And that's what I want to talk about because 133 53. What have you just recently learned?
You
Dobbo,
learned something this morning.
You've
Maga.
Just recently learned what Squid Game is.
I had no
is.
Idea. I
it's
had
a
no
mega
idea.
Show on Netflix. I just learned this morning listening to our overnight show, Luke Boner, on my drive into work. They do a fruit and veg chat in
wow.
the mornings.
Of course they do. Can we talk about the seafood? Yeah.
Jesus. They do a fruit and veg chat and they check in with the guy from Peachy's Fruit and Veg. And he was telling us about the red wax on the bottom of the banana. Bananas, and I know the difference between your standard Cavendish bananas and your ladyfinger bananas, but sure. I didn't know what the red thing was. It means that they're eco-organic, that they're grown sustainably, they use less chemicals, and so it's okay. not full organic, but it's eco. Environmentally friendly. Mm. Yeah.
Margo, you also learnt the capital of North Korea this morning.
Pyongyang.
It's Pyongyang.
Pyongyang. Pyongyang. Well, phonetically, I spelled I said it right.
It doesn't even. No, you didn't. That's it.
133 53. I want to know, what did you just recently learn?
All right.
Pyongyang.
We've got some prizes for our best callers this morning too. What did you learn perhaps over the weekend?
What are you laughing at?
Not just laughing at Heath from Lutwich. I can't wait to talk to him. Dobbo, you just recently learned, like 5 minutes ago, what Squid Game was. And it's a very popular show on Netflix. I recently learned what the red wax is on the bottom of a banana. But I also, a couple of weeks ago, learned, you know that plastic bit cap that goes on the bottom of a stapler?
Yeah.
That's not there just for fun. That's there to keep your staples
hold
in.
The staples. Catches the
didn't realise. Yeah. Okay. 133 53. Jeez. Rowan from Banyo, what did you recently just learn?
Rowan. We just learned the Van Halen song Panama.
Yes.
Is not about the country Panama. It's actually about a car.
Really?
And the lyrics make so much more sense when you know it's about a car.
What's
and
a car? What's a Panama?
Some big American brassy convertible car.
I thought it was about a Panama hat.
Oh, I thought it was about the canal.
Yeah. I'd never listened to it that intently.
Top down, hand between the legs, Easter seat back.
Well,
it is about driving a car.
I have to
car.
Get exact clarification off the great Mitch Braun, who is the music god here at Triple M, and he will no doubt at some point give us the green light whether or not that is about a
All
car.
Right,
but thank you, Rowan.
The satellite into Studio 2. Mitch, do you know anything about this?
Mate, Triple M listeners know best. Correcto mundo. It's
okay.
A car.
Good on you. Well done.
It's not a hat, buddy. Not a hat.
Oh, not a hat, and it's like not a country. It's a car. Thanks, Rowan. Heath from Lutwich, good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Heath. What did you just recently find out?
Yeah, well, recently my ex-partner, I never stopped to think about her five other children she had and just luckily dodged a bullet by having a friend filling me in on how child support works.
Oh, yeah, that hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's not her upcoming twins are someone else's problem now.
Yeah, right. Okay.
We might air this somewhere.
Heath has just recently learned about child support.
I know a good divorce lawyer if you need one.
You're marrying your divorce lawyer. That's the trick.
Did not need to get broadcast today, but yes, that's
Dean,
true.
Dean from the Sunny Coast, good morning.
Good morning, Triple M. How are we this morning?
Yeah, well good, done. Mate. Dobbo just learned what Squid Game was. Were you aware of Squid Game, the Netflix series?
Oh, look, the wife's just started watching it over the weekend. It's pretty wild, eh?
It's wild.
I did hear, I think it was Marto was talking about it last week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, Dom has just learned. What have you just learned recently?
Listen, I just sort of throw it out there. I'm 41. I got my first tattoo on Saturday afternoon. And I found out that at 41, my mum's disappointed and shocked that I got a tattoo.
Can I?
I thought you were going to unpack this. I thought he was going to say that because he got a tattoo, he learnt that it hurt. Yes, yeah. Sticking a needle into your skin.
Dean, I've got to unpack at 41. I mean, I understand most males' maturity emotionally and mentally maturity starts with us at about 28. But at 41, to decide that you're going to go off and
it might
and
be
get
sentimental. Dean, what did you get? Why?
I'll tell you what it is, Dobbo, and yeah, I'll tell you too, Margo. Listen, good luck with your second marriage, Dobbo. I got married last year for the second time.
Yeah, thank you.
Best wishes, mate.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
No, that's all right, buddy. And what it was is the wife and I, she always referred to me as a king, and she's my queen, so we both got matching tattoos. I got the king and she's got the queen.
So. Oh,
of course,
you're right. Hey, how about some Brick Lane draft for you? Yeah. For you and the missus, find it at your local Dan Murphy's. I think
good
you'll
on
enjoy
king.
That.
Well good on done. Brother.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problems at all.
What about Liam from 8 Mile Plains, Texas, on the burner phone? He said, I recently learnt that sauerkraut is just off cabbage.
Yeah. There you go. I think we've all learnt something today.
Squid game.
Triple M.
Squid game.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Triple M is the station with 10 grand to give away every morning, 7:25, first responder. It's 10 past 6.
Well, I'm so glad that he left his burner phone here over the weekend because we've been able to get all the text messages off it that he received, and there's a few to get through.
Yeah, there certainly is. Terry from Minden, good morning. Thank you for making the effort to send us this text. Monday morning moan here. I had to drive my mother-in-law's car over the weekend while my Land Cruiser ute, oh, poor you, went into the shop for some TLC. Never seen safety features like it. The car beeps when you're merging in traffic and when you're entering and exiting a school zone, when you're driving too close to the car in front of you, and if you're driving too slow. Great fun when you're driving around the city with traffic lights every 15 metres.
Terry
from
Minden, I'm with you because my husband drives one of those beepy cars. Same. That beeps at you, keeps you in the lanes. If you go over the line, it beeps at you, and if you're driving too fast, it beeps at you. Whereas us old Land Cruiser drivers, the Toyota that you pay through the nose for but get no extras on,
like
there's
tank.
Nothing. Right. It's just like a big tank. Yeah. There's no nice, beautiful display screens and all the fancy technology that all these other vehicles have.
I've had some dramas with accumulation of points and lack of points, so I am all for them beeping when you hit over the limit or when you merge or when you do something. Even if I get on my phone, it beeps, you know, so I'm happy with that. Terry, I'm against you. I think you should be driving your mum's car more often.
Well, 0484101045 is the burner phone. If you ever want to text us. Josh from Maruka texts in. He's feeling ripped off because he heard us talking about trophies last week and his claim to fame was the most outstanding under-12s player at his junior rugby league club. I was there yesterday to watch my nephew win the same trophy, but he got a massive shield that lives at the club. It came in 3 years after he won the same award. It's an outrage. He just got a little trophy. I watched my boys on Friday night. They had their trophy presentation, and the trophies are a lot bigger than they were last year.
Josh, seriously, mate, I don't know how old you are, but get over it. Move on. It's a trophy, under-12s trophy. I think there's more in life. But anyway, I get it.
Jimmy from Cooperoo texts through. He said, proud dad moment on the weekend. I've been taking my 5-year-old daughter to the park up the road from us to practice on the monkey bars. She spent an hour on them every Saturday and Sunday for the last month, and it's always ended in failure and tears. Well, you know what they say, when you fall down, get back up. Then on Saturday, she marched into the park, got on the monkey bars, and nailed them.
How good. Well
I've
done.
Never seen her and or been more proud of her, and I'm still buzzing it.
We've all had some bark taken off us from monkey bars before in our life. I can remember I was no good on the monkey. You've got to be able to hold your own body weight, which I haven't been really good at.
Good luck, Dobbo.
Yeah, no. hasn't been one
fingers.
Of my strong points.
Dobbo, there's one here for you.
Yeah.
Jai from Carindale said he was sitting with his dad on the weekend going over old sayings, and for the life of me couldn't remember the one that Dobbo always uses. Starts with, when the crops are ripe, any chance you can ask him for me. Well, Dobbo, I've heard you say this one, and I can't remember either. Something about headers and wheat.
Okay, it's very,
wheat
very
is
easy.
Ripe and something.
I say it every single day of my life, and it's my mandate for life. When the wheat is ripe, you keep the headers rolling in the paddock.
What does that mean?
When the work's on, you don't stop. So when your crops, when you're harvesting, you just keep on going.
What's
don't
a
need
header?
To sleep. A header is a harvester that takes the crop off. Yeah, yep. So when the wheat's ripe, you keep the headers rolling in the paddock.
Okay, well, that's pretty dull. Yeah. Marto's burner phone 0484 10 1045. You can stay
Someone
in contact.
Disagree.
Yeah. Yeah, text us anytime. The Big Breakfast at Triple M.
The Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for the Great Queensland Getaway, where you can fly for $75, stay for less, and do more. Be quick. These incredible deals end October 31 or until sold out. Visit queensland.com for all the details.